I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey, everybody. It's Allison Kaskowski. Thanks for joining me again this week for Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. This is the business edition of our very successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. And in very simple terms, I like to refer to this show as how we give you self-care for your business. Now, you usually hear me talk about the client experience, right? From the two vantage points, always increasing and massively enhancing customer value. That's always number one. And number two, highlighting the actual transformation, not all the bells and whistles and the things that our programs offer, right? But today, I'm going to go a little bit more behind the scenes and take a page out of my playbook and share it with you. I've been sort of on a soapbox this year about retreats and events because I just think that the entire retreat industry is blowing up. I think it's an incredibly useful and remarkable way to deliver a client experience. Plus, I feel like because it's so popular right now, the public is very solution aware. So, which really makes our job easy as business owners in terms of introducing it as a way to give you an amazing experience, right? And part of what I teach with doing retreats or events or any high touch, high level offer is you always want to be thinking about your sales and your marketing, right? And I think a lot of retreat leaders, and I notice this a lot in very new retreat leaders or, you know, coaches who, even if they've been around a while, are kind of just dipping their toe in the retreat water, so to speak. And a lot of what we have to do when we sell a retreat or when we propose a retreat or an event or a boutique experience of some type, there has to be sales involved with that. And it's more than just posting, sending endless numbers of emails, and, you know, hoping that the right people see it. I think that's kind of a pie in the sky approach. And I know that there are business owners out there, that business coaches out there that still teach that. And I'm not saying your messaging isn't important. It is important, but it's only a small piece of the puzzle. What we really have to be doing is building relationships. And what I want to talk to you about today, and I'm going to give you some, what I think are some really key do's and don'ts as to how to approach this, is the area of collaborations. This is part of my signature rule of three that I teach in helping you as a business owner really expand your online or your virtual presence, right? And so a lot of what's involved there, you know, years ago when I first started, there was no online space to speak of. There was no social media. If you had a website, you were like the cool kid in town, right? And for those of you listening who have been in business about as long as I have, almost back to the 1990s, you can remember that, where the only way to deliver, well, I don't want to say the only way, but the most popular way to deliver your business and to execute in your business was to be in person. You know, brick and mortar, small mom and pop or large corporate chain, or for us in the health and fitness industry, it was what we call the big box gyms, the Gold's Gyms, the World Gyms, all of that. I'm not saying anything is wrong with that today. There's definitely still a place for that. But what we have to think about as business owners is what are we doing to strategically help ourselves online? Because this is really how people are meeting each other, right? And so a lot, what I teach in my rule of three strategy are three specific pieces. One is your copy. That's your social media, your emails, how you're actually talking to people, right? There's a strategy involved in that. Collaborations and networking, which is, you know, another piece. And then the third part is media, podcast guesting, how to strategically choose opportunities that position you using media. Maybe it's a magazine feature, maybe it's a Substack, maybe it's a blog, maybe it's something else. But podcast guesting is really a very effective medium to get you seen, heard, and noticed online because, you know, millions of people use podcasts every single week just for their own personal enjoyment. And so if you're able to tap into that as a way to get your message out, why wouldn't you want to do that, right? And so next month, I'm going to be doing an episode on effective networking, like really what networking is all about today, how to really leverage that in person, especially if you're attending events. You've heard me talk about this a lot as I go to a lot of events throughout the year. I attend a lot of retreats. You know, we deliver a lot of retreats here at CU Fitness and the Allison K Agency. So you know it's something that I really strongly believe in, but it's also something that I actually do, which is why I feel like I can really get on a soapbox and talk about it. But today I want to talk about collaborations because I really think this is misunderstood a lot. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I get probably at least 25 to 30 messages every week from people that I don't know. I don't know the first thing about them, and they're sending me a message asking me to collaborate with them. And not only do I think that's a very sleazy way to do things in today's world, I also think that it's a very short-sighted approach to approach collaboration. And the sad thing is there are a lot of coaches out there that are teaching this. Do 50 reach outs a day, right? Or see, you know, 100 reach outs a day. How many DMs can you send? I mean, honestly, there's a lot of those messages I just delete. I mean, I don't even give my energy to them because I'm like, you haven't taken the time to understand the first thing about me. Why should I do that for you? Right. And I don't want to make that sound like, you know, negative or low energy. But at the same time, I think what we have to do is lead with the way that we expect to be treated. Right. You know, I had a recent reach out a couple weeks ago, which really kind of prompted me to want to do this episode. From a gal who was obviously pitching for a client of hers to be on our show, to be on this show. And the first email she sent me was a really long, detailed email, and it was about how great this person is, how much experience they have, how many things they've done, et cetera, et cetera. You could tell that she really hadn't even looked at the kind of show that I do, right? Or the kind of experience that we want to give our clients. I mean, all you have to do is go back and listen to some of our episodes and you kind of get a feel for how we do things here and what we look for and what we like to talk about. Now, look, I'm not saying that we want to talk to everybody in the same vein, but I also think that if you're asking people to do something to help you, I think you have to do your homework at least and show that you understand what it is, number one, that you bring to the table, number two, but what is in it for me? In other words, what's in it for me if I partner with you? So this email was really long and it had a lot of links in it. And basically it was, see how great my client is. And so we get a lot of those every week. And unfortunately, a lot of those emails get sent to me and I have a team member who does that, who filters through all that specifically for me. So a lot of times I will just forward those messages to her. But I think the first message I got from this gal, I was actually out of the office or I was gone or something and I didn't get it. And so it was like the next week. And when I was cleaning out email, I just mass deleted a whole bunch of promotions that I just didn't want to look through. And so the next email I got from her almost took like an aggressive tone. It was like, hey, do you not want to have this guy on your show? And I was just like, you know, there's something so wrong about that if you're asking me to partner with you, right? Because whether or not you pay me to work with me, or you're a guest on my show, or we do a Facebook Live together or anything, whether you pay me or not, I view it as a collaboration because I'm attaching my brand to you and you're attaching your brand to me. And that's how you have to look at it. And so I just didn't respond because I thought, you know what? I don't really want to legitimize that kind of outreach because I think it's very unprofessional. So again, I didn't respond and I probably got at least two or three more messages. So anything I'll give this gal is that she was persistent, but it was really the wrong way to approach a collaboration. And so I finally forwarded the last couple of messages I got from her, which really got a lot more hostile as we went on. Like, are you offended by this? Do you not want this person on your show? I mean, literally, that's what she came out to say. So I forwarded it to my team member who always has a very gracious way of doing this, who composed a very nice email and wrote her back and said, you know, we appreciate your interest, but we really don't appreciate the kind of approach that you're doing. It's very unprofessional. This is our process, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I wanted to do that to kind of set an example and also to teach a lesson, because I just think that a lot of business owners really don't know how to do effective collaborations. And look, the way you collaborate is different today. And it has to be different today because the business world is very loud. There's a lot of people out there ringing their bells and whistles constantly. Everyone wants eyes on what they do, and they should. But there's a right and a wrong way to approach this. And so what I want to do today is give you what I think are some pretty clear do's and don'ts on how to approach a collaboration. And look, if the story I just shared with you resonates with you, feel free to reach out to me and tell me about your experience, because, you know, these are things that I think we have to be talking about openly if we really want to change how business owners approach collaborations and building relationships with other business owners. Look, at the end of the day, one thing has not changed about doing business today, whether it was 30 years ago or now, and that is it is a game of who do you know. And the more you can expand your circle in a way that really benefits you, that benefits the people that you choose to partner with, and that it benefits your customer base, your ideal clients, the people that choose to work with you, whether they're in your audience simply to get your free stuff or your paid stuff. You know, the way we approach that is everything. And, you know, we have to think about that when it comes down to who we're choosing to partner with and who we're choosing to talk about and who we're choosing to engage with, right? Okay, so here are the do's and don'ts. I want to give you some do's and some don'ts. And then what I want to do at the end is kind of summarize what I think are, since my signature strategy online is what I call the rule of three, I've actually summarized a lot of what I'm going to talk about today into what I call the rule of three of collaboration. So hopefully you can walk away with something that will, you know, maybe already enhance what you already do. Because my guess is if you're listening to this show, you're a successful business owner. And you probably have your own way of approaching collaborations and reach outs. And that's great, but I always believe that we can learn something from each other. So if you have something that really works for collaborating, if you have a thought or an idea that you want to share, feel free to shoot me a DM. You know, I'm happy to write about it in one of our newsletters. I'm happy to share it with our audience. One of my core values is generosity. And I really believe that we have to be givers first if we're going to be successful in business, right? And I do that freely. I do that expecting nothing in return from you. So I don't want you to think that if you do that, that I'm going to be reaching out to you weeks from now saying, hey, I'm calling in a favor, because that's just not how I operate. But what I will probably do is say, what's really a strategic way that we can help each other? Because I really think that that's important. Okay. So here are the do's and don'ts, the way I see it about how to approach collaboration. First of all, collaboration should benefit both of you. Okay, so I want you to keep that in mind as I'm talking about these key points. Okay, let's talk about the do's first. Number one is strategic selection. I cannot emphasize this enough. So here's some things to think about. Always choose collaborators whose audience aligns with your ideal client profile. Okay, not just those with huge audiences. Okay, and this was kind of a shift in my thinking over the last probably 5 or 6 years. Because I remember when we first started going online back in 2012, 2013, 2014, when social media was really starting to become big, and most businesses at the very least had a Facebook page, and we didn't understand or know to the extent and degree that we know about social media today. But there were a lot of people out there just posting and talking about what they were doing, and you know, it was light and easy, and it worked. And so a lot of business coaches were teaching, go and partner with people who have big audiences. I know I worked with a coach at one time that told me that. And not only do I think that's a short-sighted strategy, but I think you miss out on an opportunity to really add a lot of value for your audience. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter who has the biggest audience, right? At the end of the day, your people care about the fact that you can help them and solve their problem. And so you want to approach your collaborations through the lens of, can this person add some value to my audience? Can this person add value to what I do? Because at the end of the day, it really makes you look good too, right? So that's what we have to think about. So always choose people whose audience aligns with your ideal client. In other words, the way I like to talk about it is, who can you partner with that shares your ideal client? In other words, where is your client spending time away from you? Okay, so for example, you know, this is one of the ways that I built my business was in the beginning when I was working in fitness full time. My background is very strongly aligned in health, fitness, and prevention. I mean, I started my career as a group fitness instructor and a personal trainer. I would go to clients' homes. I did this a lot when I was a grad student. It was a lot of the way that I was able to get myself through school and get out with minimal debt, right? And it's something that I still do to this day, even though I only work with a very small number of clients and it's usually by referral only. But I say that because the way I always approached that when I was trying to build my business base was, who are my ideal clients spending time with? And with my background in fitness and rehab and injury prevention and all that, it made sense that I wanted to align myself with medical professionals because it's not a competition. That's the other thing you want to think about. If you are a fitness coach or a health coach, it's perfectly okay to partner with another fitness coach or health coach, but you want to make sure that you position it like it's a win-win for both of you, right? You know, you don't want to necessarily go collaborate with another coach who shares your same ideal client, right? Unless you agree on what it is that you're going to be teaching, okay? So you want to really think about that. There's obviously always a way that you can help each other. I believe there's always a way that we can support each other. But if you're going to partner with someone who does something very similar to you, you want to have an open conversation about how this can work, okay? So you want to think about who aligns with your ideal client profile, not just those with big audiences, okay? Look for complementary expertise rather than direct competitors, okay? That's basically what I just said. And here's just a little bonus tip with regard to that. Really research people and see how they talk about what they do. See what their values are. See where they, you know, if they're the kind of person that you could really see yourself aligning yourself with, right? Because it's like I said at the beginning of the show, you don't want it, you are attaching your brand to somebody else and it is a direct reflection on you. So you know, I'm not saying you want to partner with someone who agrees with you on everything, but you do want to partner with people who you feel closely aligned to in some way. You can disagree politically. You can disagree on social issues. You can disagree on, you know, other things, as long as you agree on the issue that it is talking about, okay? And look, a lot of you may disagree with me on that. I have lots of friends who don't agree with me politically, but we still support each other. I have a lot of friends who socially, we're not in the same circles. Socially, we're kind of aligning ourselves with different causes, but we still find a way to support each other, right? And that's because we take the big picture view. So you don't want to be so narrow-minded that you miss out on what could be a really good opportunity for you, okay? So try to see past the shiny lights and the big neon signs and the millions of followers, okay? And instead, look for how you can support each other in what's best for your ideal client. Okay, so be strategic on who you choose, okay? So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the AllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. All right, second do for collaborations is focus on relationship building first. I cannot emphasize this enough, okay? So engage with them online, start following them. One of the things that I teach my clients in my Innovate Mastermind and clients who work with me on their online presence, one of the things that I do initially is a blueprint session. And this is a 90-minute deep dive where we basically take your business and put it under a microscope and we look at all of these things. And so one of the things that I always encourage my clients to do is engage with people that you would like to know online. Start following their content. like their posts, comment on their posts, share their posts if you think it's really valuable, send them a DM and say, I really appreciated that post you did today. That doesn't take any time or energy from you. It doesn't cost you anything. And it's a gesture of goodwill. And that, I believe, always comes back to help you down the road, okay? So engage authentically with people that you would like to ultimately, or that you see yourself maybe being partners with at some point, for several weeks before you propose to do anything with them, okay? So you want to be liking their stuff, commenting, propping them up when you feel like you can, sharing their stuff with your audience, giving them a big high five and saying, I really appreciate you sharing this. This needs to be talked about. This is how we really create change, right? And so we want to be openly doing this because we all ultimately want people doing this for us too, right? Offer value up front, okay? Share their content, like I said, you know, share insights, make introductions. One of the things that I always like to do once I start engaging with someone is either in a DM, I say, hey, name, you know, whatever their name is. I really have loved your content. I've been following you for a while. And I'm wondering, is there a way that we could support each other? Would you be interested in talking about this? And, you know, that might sound a little bit forward, but I do think that business owners today appreciate that, especially if you've taken time to learn about them and what they do. Don't just send some long ass email telling me how great your client is for my show or how great it would be to work with me, okay? You know, at least pretend like you want to get to know me first, right? I guess that's my point, okay? So build a connection first, okay, before treating it like a transaction, okay? I really cannot stress this enough. In business, you cannot do this enough. And then my last point of the do part of a collaboration is offer what is a clear value proposition for both of you, okay? Lead with what you can offer them, not with what you want from them, okay? So let me say that again. Lead with how you can help, not with what you want from them, okay? So don't say, hey, I've got this retreat coming up. Would you share it with your audience? Well, that might be great if you already have a relationship with that person, right? But instead, what would probably be a better approach would be, hey, I've been following your stuff and I noticed that you've got a retreat coming up. I would be happy to share this with my audience. And I'm wondering if you would be willing to share mine with yours. Okay? The worst thing they can say is no, right? Or at least it starts a conversation. So maybe if the timing isn't good to do that, perhaps you could work something out for a later date. Okay? So you want to be specific about what the benefits are and what the outcomes are. So in other words, don't place too much emphasis and weight on a specific collaboration for your business. I see a lot of newer business owners do this. They put a lot of eggs in one basket, really betting on one specific strategy that it's really going to work. And, you know, my viewpoint is you can never know too many people. And really any business owner, I don't care how successful you are, should be spending time every single day doing this with business owners. You know, one of the things that I teach my clients is to do reach outs, and I teach them to do at least five every single day. And the reason for this is not so that you'll get five new collaborative partners, although that would be great if you did, but it's really more to get you in the habit and get you used to doing it, okay? And then it becomes easy, and then you become more and more consistent, and then it builds your confidence, right? So you want to think about that always. There are a lot of people that really have no idea how to do this in a really good way. And I don't claim to know everything about collaborations, but I'm very good at connecting with people and having conversations. And I've learned to do that over the years. And I really credit my early years in business, where that was literally how I built my business, for my success in that area, because I didn't rely on online. I didn't rely on social media. I didn't rely on, you know, any type of online advertising because it just wasn't an option. You know, I was on the phone talking to people every day. I was knocking on doors. I was asking for introductions, you know, from my clients. Hey, I'm really looking to meet more physicians. You know, are you happy with your physician and can you make an introduction for me? You have to be able to do that. You have to advocate for yourself, right? So let me just review what those three are. Be very strategic about who you choose, okay? Make sure it's a win-win for both of you, right? Make sure that what they do really aligns with what you do. Number two, focus on relationship building first, not asking for someone to help you, okay? And number three, always lead with value first. What can you offer them rather than how they can help you, right? I cannot emphasize that enough. I know it sounds like common sense, folks, but you know, hear me out. So many common sense is just not common practice for so many people, okay? So you really want to be leading with how you expect to be treated as a business owner and as a customer, right? Okay, so let's get into the don'ts, okay? You know, we got to talk about what not to do too. Number one, always, always, always avoid what I call post and pray. Some of my colleagues call it spray and pray. And basically what this is what we really see on social media now. It's this mass posting everywhere, come buy my stuff. I'm doing this amazing retreat in Mexico and it's going to change your life and we're going to do yoga and breath work and we have a private chef and all of that. And so come buy my stuff. Come take a spot. Come join me. Okay. You know, and I see this same type of approach everywhere, whether it's on social media, whether it's in DMs, whether it's in emails, it's everywhere. And it just reeks to me of, let me just get this out to as many people as possible and somebody will see it. And that is so the wrong approach, right? Not only does it reek of desperation and anxiety, but it also shows me that you know nothing about connecting with people. Now, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you that if you follow this strategy, immediately you're going to see results. But what I will say is this, is that if you commit to real relationship building in your business, it will pay off. All right. Over half of my new business all the time comes from relationships that I've built. Okay. It comes from the conversations that I have with people. And a lot of times those conversations start out with a no, or they start out with somebody not responding to me for a while. And then all of a sudden they're in my inbox. Right. And so what we have to do is understand people are busy. Right. And we have to be persistent and we have to show that we're genuine and that we're interested. Don't post and pray. Don't spray and pray. Have a strategy behind your messaging and what it is that you do. Okay. Don't mass message everyone in your network hoping that somebody will say yes. Okay. And here's another one. Don't reach out to people that you've never interacted with and ask them to share your stuff. Just don't do it, folks. That's just so slimy and just reeks of desperation. Don't do it. Okay. Instead, take the time to comment on their stuff, show that you're interested. And then, you know, after a little bit of time, feel free to send a message and say, I would love to learn more about what you do. Because one of the things that we do after every interview, when we interview a guest, and a lot of you listening have been guests of ours, you've probably gotten an email at some point with a link to my calendar. And I do that very strategically because I always believe there's a way that we can help each other. We have a very dialed in process for guests to come on this show and our Tuesday show. And I'm not doing that to be stingy. And I'm not doing that because I think I'm some elitist. I do that because I want to make sure that it's a good fit for both of us. Okay. It's not helping me or you if I invite someone on here that isn't a good fit. Not only is it a waste of both of our time, but it doesn't serve my audience and it doesn't serve their audience. And that's the way I like to look at it. Okay. But what I always believe in is having a conversation afterward. Tell me more about what you do. Tell me what you're offering right now. Who do you help? How can I help you? Right? We have to be willing to do that first before we ask for anything back. Okay. All right. Second, step number two, and this kind of ties in with what I just talked about, or point number two, is skip what I call the pitch slap, right? Skip the pitch slap, folks. Just get over it. Okay. Don't lead with what you need. Don't say, hey, buy my stuff. Here's the link to my retreat. Don't do it. Okay. Get in a conversation with them. Ask them about who they are. Ask them about what they do. Ask them about what they like. You know, again, compliment them on what they're doing. People need to hear that, especially in today's world when everyone seems to be just trying to get attention, right? You know, don't send long messages that are focused on how great you are and all your experience and what you do and who you've worked with and that you've worked with multi-million dollar companies like Starbucks and whatever. Don't do that. People don't care about that. You know, it does make you credible, but it doesn't say to them that you care about them. People care when they know that you care about them. Okay. So don't pitch slap. Okay. Just don't do it. Build the relationship first. And then the last thing is, you know, don't go into a proposed collaboration without something in mind or some kind of goal in mind. Okay. And I'm not saying you need to go in with something perfectly planned. A lot of times I don't really know what is going to work with a potential collaborative partner. I usually intentionally decide there's something here with somebody. You know, if I'm cultivating a relationship with somebody, I know at some point there's going to be an opportunity. You know, I don't go into it thinking that I have to have it all figured out. Instead, what I do is I'll say, how can we help each other? How is there a way that we can work together? And it starts the conversation. And then the more conversations you have, the more ideas you come up with. And then that's when you come up with something that works for both of you. Okay. So don't wing it. Don't go into it and think that everything has to be structured and there needs to be a timeline. And by all means, don't go into it and say, I want to do this in the next month, right? Don't make the other person feel rushed. In other words, it has to work for both of you and there should be some ease to it. There should be a way that you can do it that feels good to both of you. Okay. So let me review what I think are the three big no-nos on collaborations. Number one, avoid the post and pray approach or spray and pray or whatever it is that you call it. Okay. Don't do it, folks. Don't be the used car salesman. Don't say, I'm going to post 100 times and somebody will see it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Okay. Number two, skip the pitch slap. In other words, don't go right into sales mode. Make an effort to get to know them first. Okay. And don't focus on you first and how great you are. Don't do it. Okay. Just don't. Focus on them first. And lastly, don't go into it and just wing it. Go into it at least with the intention that you can figure something out that's going to work for both of you. Okay. And tell them that. Say, look, I really have loved following your stuff. I really would love to learn more about your business and what you do. And then say, be proactive and say, I would love to find a way for us to work together or help each other. Okay. I do that with every single podcast guest that we have, at least the ones that I have conversations with. And sometimes it's a paid arrangement. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's, I'll have you on my show. Sometimes it's, I'll feature you in my next newsletter. Look, it doesn't really matter, folks. Put the goodwill out there and it will come back to you in droves, I promise you. Okay. So let me give you my sort of summarized approach since you heard me talk about my rule of three. This is what I call the rule of three for collaborations. Okay. Number one, give yourself 3 months of relationship building, approximately 8 to 12 weeks, roughly, before proposing some kind of collaboration. Okay. And this might look like, you know, following them for a while, commenting on their stuff, giving them a big heart or a thumbs up or whatever. You might do that for quite a while before you even have a conversation with this person. Okay. Number two, 3 types of value you can offer before asking for anything. Now, this might be a bit of a reach, so work with me here. What's 3 ways that you can offer to help? Can you share their stuff? Can you offer, if you have a podcast, can you do a guest swap? Can you write them a review? Can you, you know, give them a big heart and thumbs up on their launch or their offer that they're trying to promote, right? Can you share it with your audience if it feels right and it works for your promotional calendar? Get creative, folks. We have to be creative today about how we support each other. Okay. It's 2025. We're stepping into the future and this is just how things are done. Okay. And then the last point, my summarized point is, what are 3 follow-up touch points that you can do, okay, after a collaboration to maintain the relationship? Okay. So let's say that you've figured out a way that you can work with somebody. Okay. Regardless of whether or not it was effective for both of you. What are 3 ways that you can follow up with that person to express your appreciation? Can you schedule a follow-up call? Can you give them a shout out in something that you're doing? Okay. Can you write them another review? Can you share some of their stuff on one of your social media feeds? Right. Can you, you know, promote them in an email? Can you, you know, what can you do? Can you just flat out send them a message and say, you know what? I'm really glad we were able to do that. I would love for us to talk again in the future. Come on, folks, you know, show that you are the kind of client that you want to attract, right? Like be in it for the long haul because investing in relationships is always worth it. It is time consuming. And I do recommend that you be strategic about it, obviously, but it is worth it. It's worth every bit of it, folks. We need each other to succeed. Okay. So that's what I got for you today. What I think are the big critical do's and don'ts for collaborations and business. I hope this is helpful for you. If you would like to learn more about what we do here at CU Fitness and the Allison K Agency and how we can help you do this better in your business, please feel free to send me a DM. You can go to my website, www.theallisonk.com and just hit the connect button in the upper right-hand corner. We do offer free 20-minute sessions If you'd like to just hop on a quick call with me and we can chit chat a little bit, I promise I'm not going to hard sell you. That's not my deal. I am going to ask how I can help you, right? And so whether you'd like me to take a look at your retreat promise or an offer that you're doing or something, I'm happy just to give you some free advice. I mean, come on, folks, we have to help each other. And I'm more than willing to do this. So if you are interested in any of that, you know, feel free to reach out and we can definitely set that up. Thanks so much for tuning in. If what I talked about today was helpful for you, please feel free to share it with someone that you know or with your audience, or let us know what you think. I always love your feedback. So this is Allison Katzkowski with Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. This is what I got for you this week on the podcast, folks. We will see you next time. Bye.